fans, followers, leaders, and true believers. I'm here with
Aaron Bordner.
Aaron Bordner is a good buddy of mine, probably one of my oldest friends from back home in Fremont, Ohio. And that's kind of, I'm actually, we're in Toledo. Close enough, you know?
Because everybody leaves.
Yeah, everybody leaves. Fremont's kind of like a negatively charged magnet sometimes. I mean, it's still home, you know, it's where I'm from. But it's always good to visit back home and friends and family from back there. But get you everybody up to speed. Aaron Bordner's a comic book artist, writer, good friend of mine. And like, what would you say that you, what would you say it is that you do nowadays, man? Other than the zoo.
Draw. Just doing the books. Pretty much, I don't leave the house unless I gotta go to the zoo. All I do is sit and draw, format books, you know, on the computer, and get it out to my distributors or my printers and stuff like that, and just try to dream up new stories.
One of the things that, out of all the friends I know, like one of the things that I want to say thanks to you, man, is because you and a couple other people that fucking, as long as I've known you, like this is what you did, like, you know, and as a comic, a stand up comedian, not a comic book. But as a stand-up comic, you just kind of look at somebody and be like, holy shit, I'm not the only one to just say fuck it and go out on what I want to do, you know? So what kind of a route was that to get to where you are now?
Well, it was a long, hard route because I didn't want to have a real job. yeah, you know, it was just something I always liked doing. You know, I lived out in the country, so it's like I didn't have a whole lot of neighbors or anything like that, so I spent a lot of time just, you know, sitting in my room drawing and, you know, playing with Star Wars toys, playing in the woods and stuff like that. But yeah, art was just a good outlet for me to get all the craziness out of my head, you know. Yeah. You know, bad dreams, good dreams, what have you. And, you know, and thought I'd try to make a living out of it, you know, growing up with comic books like The Incredible Hulk in the 70s and Star Wars comics and Tarzans and stuff like that. You know, I just always thought it was cool, and I thought it was cool that people actually made, you know, did this for a living, you know, type thing. Granted, it's not the best living, but but it's fun, you know.
But it's on your terms. That's the best part, you know. Yeah.
Always get that job you're going to love to do.
Yeah, I think that was the thing for me when I saw that, you know, anybody can be a comic. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, it's like, the thing is you have to have a talent for it. You got to, you know, you got, I mean, obviously you have to have a talent. You have to be funny to be a comedian, unless you got like $1 million bazillion for writers.
Yeah.
And then it's just like for you guys, you know, that are artists, man, you got to be able to draw and all that other shit. But it's like, if you have that and fucking run with it, you know, and that's fucking badass, dude. And then,
The cool thing is about it, you know, you keep progressing. And like I said, you make your own rules. You get to do what you want to do, you know. Not a bad gig. Not a bad gig.
So do you think it's pretty much therapeutic for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely
therapeutic. Because that's like comedy. It's like,
if it wasn't for artwork, man, I'd be in prison.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the art.
Yeah. You don't need that, man.
You got to have that outlet. Got to have some sort of outlet.
I think the thing is, too, is like we were talking about before we started recording, is just like a lot of it, too, is like having that outlet, especially like a therapeutic outlet for doing the comedy and shit. And one of the reasons why I want to talk with you, too, is because you're open about going through depression. Yep. And this is that time of year, dude. This is like fucking...
Tis the season.
Tis the season for that kind of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, like, and I have no problem talking about, you know, where my headspace is sometimes. And I think it helps a lot, too, is like when people hear, and, you know, and thank you, dude, for being open.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, too, it helps a lot of people is when they're like, oh, I'm not alone with this kind of shit, you know? And it's just like, so what kind of shit have you been going through, man?
Well, especially, you know, a lot of people think a lot of depression comes because of the holidays. And, you know, that is true. You know, you got, you know, family, especially when you're getting older, the older you get, the more life takes away. The holidays is a main factor in the depression around this time of year, but it's also the shorter days, the lack of sunlight. I'm really animate about telling my friends, you know, you need that vitamin D, but you need that vitamin D from that sun, you know.
Right.
That really makes you feel good. You get that overcast day, and that really can change your whole outlook on everything. I mean, you get a nice sunny day like this, I'm happy, I'm smiling, that's awesome. Yesterday was kind of gloomy, cold and stuff, so it's kind of down, so all I did was try to do some artwork, couldn't do it, so I just pretty much laid on my ass and just binge watched The Punisher. I think I did that for like 13 hours.
And I remember you're like, how dare you like The Punisher? I love that show. I thought that fucking... I remember we went back and forth on that on Facebook a while back. I thought that that series was really good.
Yeah, well, actually, yes, it is actually really good. I'm really kind of surprised I actually liked it as much as I did. I think my main thing at first was I was getting mad because he wasn't wearing a skull.
Oh,
so that, yeah. I kept going. I was like, I got to hang on. But no, the story was awesome. I was watching it. It's like, yeah, you know, this, even if it wasn't called The Punisher, it would have been a great series. But every time he donned that skull on his bulletproof vest, I was like, yeah, there we go. That's the Punisher I grew up with, you know, back in the day.
And when they made Jigsaw,
I have not got to season two yet.
Okay, cool.
I just finished up season one last night.
Well,
four in the morning.
By the name, you know who it is. Yep, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking it's going to be that Russo guy.
No? Yeah.
Let's see, I kind of had a feeling that it might be him. Yeah,
because it's just like, well, that's the name. It'd be like if somebody said, oh, hey, Harvey Dent. And then like in the Batman, like the original Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah.
Because when they had Harvey Dent, and that was fucking...
Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
I actually did a really cool Billy Dee Williams version of Two-Face.
Yeah,
I did a little series called Batman, you know, 1990, of, you know, all the different characters that could have been. But, yeah, I love Billy. That would have been awesome seeing that mustache.
Because I was hoping that's what was going to happen. I mean, as a little kid, following the comic books and stuff, I'm like, oh, dude, if they would have turned him into Two-Face... That would have been badass. It ended up being Tommy Lee Jones like later yep. on, you know. So that would have been fucking badass, man. But
Billy Dee Williams did get his chance to play Two-Face in the Batman Lego movie.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I forgot about that.
It was awesome because it was basically Lando Calrissian as Two-Face. It was so awesome. He was really smooth and slick. And
I got this Cloud 45 t-shirt. Works every time. So like Colt 45 is Cloud 45. And it's got him as Lando Calrissian.
I got a Lando shirt that says, keep it classy, the Cloud City. And he has like a little sparkle on his tooth.
Bling! Works
Except
every
for
time.
For some reason, his skin looks kind of orange. I was kind of disappointed when it came in. I'm like, wait a minute, this don't look like the picture. Why is Billy orange?
Oh, shit, man. Cool. And this point, we're talking about Colt 45 and seasonal depression. This is like the worst time, too, to fucking crawl into the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
That's like one of the things that always worries me too is like, because I don't know, dude. It's just fucking when people are dealing with some shit and it's just all they want to do is get fucking hammered.
Yeah.
You know, and that's.
Yeah, I was an alcoholic for a good half of my life, you know, about 25 years of nonstop drinking. And all I was just hiding from myself. And that was the main reason why I was drinking, was to. You know, killing the pain from the depression, just not to think about it. And, you know, sooner or later you wake up sober and the problems are still there. So I just kept drinking, you know, wake up in the morning, just start drinking to the point where I end up becoming, you know, homeless, lost a lot of friends because of it. Granted, I got the friends back now, but nobody liked me when I was drinking.
Right.
Because I was just a dirty drunk, you know, in a ditch. No. I actually was found in a ditch. So,
well, I'll do it. You're saying you're sleeping under bridges and shit. Yep, and then, like,
I don't miss that.
Not to glorify Red Hot Chili Pepper songs or anything like that, but. Man, dude, that's the thing, too. It's like, I got to feel it. You know what I mean? Like, when I was young, and especially in the military, because, like, it's everything's so glorified with alcohol. You know what I mean? It's just like, and that's like, oh, what are you doing, fuck pussy? Better drink this. And you smack it, your friend's top of your friend's beer, so he chugs it.
Yep.
My favorite was to put my thumb on it and then spray you with it if you fucking did it to me. But, like, that's it. You want this beer? You want me to fucking chug this beer? It tastes like shit now. It's froth. Fuck you.
Yep.
I'll spray it at you. But, no, and that's the thing, too. It's like, it's getting over to the whole time of year and just trying to get through it and trying to feel it now versus, like, just being hung over, you know, through that, waking up, shit-housed. And I'm not saying anything against drinking. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying
I envy don't the use people that can be social drinkers.
Right.
I mean, I wish I could be, but I can't be. I mean, like I said, at the beginning, I drank because it was fun. You know, drinking, drugging, stuff like that was fun. But then it got to the point where it was my life. You know, I just woke up just to drink. You know, I worked just to have money to drink. I mean, I just lost all sorts of everything, money, self-esteem, you know, just reputation. You know, I don't know how I managed to actually still do comic books during my drinking, but when the final year of drinking there, I had a point in my drinking stage when I was going back and forth through ICU for alcohol poisoning. I didn't draw a single piece that whole year. And I think that's what really kind of, that was one of the factors of getting me sober, you know.
Yeah.
Having something taken away from you that you love so much and you had no desire to do it. And then next thing you know, it's like, I haven't did anything in a year.
Wow.
Like, that's ridiculous. That was complete control of alcohol had control over me.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because I remember, like, it's as far back as I can remember. I mean, like, I used to sell weed and work at a coffee shop when yep. I met you, and then you know, usually it was either selling you weed, or hanging out at the coffee shop, and no matter where it was, dude, you always had a fucking, like, a book with you or something. You're just constantly drawing.
Yep.
Remember, like, you'd have the lap board with a pillow underneath it.
I still have those.
And you would still be, you know, doing it. And the funny thing is like, that transferred to me, like, after, not after I retired, a few years before I retired, I was at, like, I don't know, one of those fucking, like, those dollar type stores. I forget what it's called, but I ended up picking up one of those that had a built-in pillow underneath it, and that's where I'd write comedy, dude. I'd sit Indian style watching whatever TV, and then if I got something that popped in my head, you know, I'd sit there and start fucking jotting it down, or if it's just a premise that I knew I could make something out of later, you know. And I got into that habit too, because I'd see, like, you were always working, like, no matter what the fuck it was. I always admired that about you, man, because, and that's where I think I got, I mean, I always had a good work ethic, but as far as artistry versus, like, a on the site construction job where you gotta, like, I gotta be here from 9 to 5, so I'm gonna bust my ass 9 to 5. But when it comes to, like, creativity, do you just, like, do you do that too? Just, like, if you have something that pops in your head, you gotta write it down right away? Or
I've always been that person that I'm a lazy artist, I'm a lazy writer, so I rarely ever jot anything down.
That just means you smoked weed.
I keep everything in my head, I keep all the ideals in my head, and I rewrite things in my head and rework things. And when I get an ideal for a story or a piece of artwork, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. But when I'm done, it's completely the opposite of what I was going to do.
Right.
And I like that because it's kind of like an adventure. I don't know. If I know what I'm going to do, and if it's already, if I can ever already do it in my head and I think I can put it on the paper, that's kind of boring. It's like, okay, it's already done in my head, I don't want to do it type thing. So that's the main reason why I like art, or, you know, with you with the comedy.
Yeah.
Everything's always changing. You're always getting new ideals. You're always tweaking things and stuff like that. And with me, it's just sheer laziness. Or I don't have it on me at the time to write something down. Every now and then I'll have a dream, wake up in the middle of the night. That's why I sleep in my art studio.
You know, that makes sense. Yeah.
Japanese style on the floor. You know, got a nice guest room bed and everything like that. I never sleep in it. I wake up, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning. Oh, I got an ideal. You know, a crazy dream. I do a quick sketch and do a quick note. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I remember what I was doing. But sometimes I'll, like, you know, look at the piece on the table. What the hell was I doing? Like, I don't even know what this is supposed to be. So, yeah. So half the time, you know, I'm just seeing chicken scribbles.
I always think, like, the biggest lie, well, for to me, that I can tell myself is I'll write that down later. I'm the opposite, dude. Because I don't know how many times where I thought of something that was really funny or something, and then it was just like, it took me like fucking a couple hours, not even, a couple minutes, dude, where I didn't write it down.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, motherfucker, I can actually think of one time driving on the fucking 405 and thinking about how great of a thought that I had that would be a great bit for comedy. And I don't remember what it was, but I remember being upset. And I'll never forget how upset I am still to this day, because it was comedy gold, because I worked the whole bit out in my head. And then, like, by the time I started thumb fucking my phone and doing the radio on the, because I was working for the radio station at the time, you know, turning on the stations and shit. And then by the time I finally was like, okay, I got to write this down. And I'm like, what the fuck was it?
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. I got the worst memory in the world. I can't remember anything that happened 2 minutes ago, but 2 years ago I can remember that. So in another 2 years, that idea will come back. And then I'll do it.
I hope that happens because I remember, I don't remember what it was. I just remember it was a great fucking bit, you know, or like, I'll just and the thing is too, is a lot of times I'll just write shit, cause I think it's funny. So people think I love cocaine or something, but I don't do that kind of, I might smoke a little bit of weed every once in a while, you know, but I don't fuck with the booger sugar, but it'll be like, you know, something funny. I'll be like, you know, what's a bit I was writing the other day. It's like, I like, I live in LA, so a lot of people are into dieting, you know, and also other people are really into drugs. So I'm going to compromise. I'm going to have gluten-free cocaine.
Yeah.
You know, so
that'd be awesome.
Just like stupid shit like that I'm putting together. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I'll post it on Facebook. And the next thing you know, somebody will be like, I got to block my dad or somebody. You know, it's like, somebody's like, man, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, it's the internet. It's not meant to be fucking taken serious, dude.
Yeah. See, I'm the bad thing is I did everything. I think about the only drugs I've never done was heroin or crack.
Right.
But I'm really animate about, you know, my recovery process and stuff like that. So I always talk about it, you know, and everybody looks at me like, once a drug addict, always a drug addict, which, you know, we're still addicts. We just don't do it anymore type thing.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, some people just don't think some things are funny. You know, I'm that type of guy that, you know, nothing's taboo. As long as you can laugh about it, nothing's taboo. There's... Unless you're making fun of Steve Irwin, don't you dare do that in front of me.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. But nothing's taboo.
You're not a big fan of that. Yeah, that's why you don't like the, was it Joe Tiger or whatever the fuck his name is?
Yeah, I refuse to, you know.
Like, I'm not going to watch that shit.
No, I work at the zoo and yeah, I love my animals and stuff. And I just, those type of places are just, it's full of abuse. And they drug the animals up, you know, for people to get photo ops with them and stuff like that. Pull teeth, claws. People shouldn't own big animals like that, period. Now, if it's a sanctuary, a proper sanctuary like our zoo, a lot of people don't understand. A lot of zoos, we don't go out, they don't go out into the jungles and capture them anymore. This ain't the 70s anymore.
Right, right.
They're either born in the zoo or they're rehabilitated animals that got hurt that can't be released back into the wild.
Yeah, because they can't hunt for themselves or they, since they're born in captivity, they're kind of like, you know.
You get like hunters that accidentally killed a wolf mother and didn't realize they had cubs.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we get the cubs and same thing with cougars and stuff like that, you know.
I like cougars, dude. Oh, wait, never mind. That's another thing. I've always been happy.
They're my age now, so it's
kind of. And it's funny now. It's like creepy. We're at that. Now it's the other way around. I like being a silverback.
Yeah, at my age, I definitely walk like a silverback gorilla. I walk like Dave Sanchez. Dave.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Sanchez is our friend, and disclaimer is that he is a Wookiee.
he's a silverback gorilla that's shaved.
Oh, man, that's fucking funny, dude.
Yeah, before I worked at the zoo, before I learned the names of the animals, our male silverback, that's I named him Dave for years. I would call him Dave, and his name's Kawisha. I'm like, hey, still, Dave, how you doing?
It'll always be Dave. That's how it is.
He's got that same brow.
Man, that going back to the thing about being openly about addictions and shit like that. That's like one of the things that I fucking hated. I love, don't get me wrong, I love 20 years. Like, I'm happy. God bless the fucking military for keeping me that long. You know what I'm saying? But that's one of the things that I'm glad they gotten away from. And what I'm building up to is the whole, like, they were really pumping everybody full of fucking painkillers and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, and then that's, like, and that's, they really didn't know. It's like how cocaine was in the 80s. Nobody knew it was addictive.
Yeah.
Nobody knew it was bad. They just thought it was a tool to get you through the day.
Yep.
You know, and that was kind of like when, before the opiate crisis, if they call it that, happened, I got strung out on that shit, man. That's what really scared me. Was that I had shoulder surgery and had a couple of things going on. And it was just like, you know, I'm in battalion. You know what I'm saying? I got shit going on. They'd pump me with, you know, with full of oxys and not oxys, but what was it? Percocets and Percodans or whatever. Percocets somethings.
Yeah.
Keep me perky. Yep, they gave me the perks to be perky. And then
it's in the name.
And then, man. And then next thing you know, it's like, you really crave that shit. So I see a lot of the people getting strung out on the fucking heroin and all that other stuff because of, you know, the way that was. And that's where it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like not hard to talk about. It's just weird because like in hindsight, it's like, what the fuck were these guys doing?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I don't even know what type of pills I was taking. I was always so drunk, somebody hand me something, I just did it.
Yeah. Well, that's like the club drugs back in the day, man. Yep. You know, like fucking ecstasy or well, now it's Molly. Same shit, yeah. Different name, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah, they keep changing names.
It's just
names,
like, we'll so just call it like, something yep. different. But, you know, club drugs and shit. And you're just like, well, fuck it, okay. And then it was before how bad things are now. I mean, yeah. Before the fentanyl stuff. So it was just like, you'd kind of trip a little bit,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Fentanyl is no joke.
No, that's killing
no
everybody.
No joke. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Just, yeah, there's still some drugs. I really don't know what they were. And I'm sure I've taken them, like Quaalude. What the hell is a Quaalude?
It's just downs. Downers, you know?
Okay. I mean, is it like a certain prescription or is it made at home or?
Well, I don't, honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
but
know.
I'm sure I've probably done them. I just don't know what they are.
Well, that's like Oliver Stone was really into doing cocaine and Quaaludes.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he hit, right? Like when it would hit. Yeah. He's like, it would hit because he had this place on Venice Beach.
Uh-huh.
Chasing the Light. Really good book, man. I recommend that to anybody, especially if you're a fan of that movie Platoon. I fucking love that movie Platoon.
Oh, Willem Dafoe is awesome in that.
Hell yeah. My
and
boy.
Johnny Depp's death scene. That was sad.
Yeah, my boy Freddie Lockhart was one who suggested that book to me. And I'll tell you what, man, that was awesome. And he talks about how he wrote and how he got into like writing all that other shit. I'm not going to lie. I did the Audible book. I didn't read it.
Yeah.
I did the book on tape.
It's still the same.
That, the book was, I consider that book Colorado, Iowa, and like Nebraska or some shit. You know, because, yeah, Colorado, Nebraska, Iowa. That was, on the way here. But no, it was really cool. Cause yeah, I mean that book it was, but not the dude would fucking do coke and he'd eat a Quaalude just so like it hit just right,
uh-huh.
So they put him in different moods in the middle of his writing, you know, and he'd black out his house, so it was just like he didn't know when it was. And I'm like, damn, dude, get some vitamin D, get the fuck out there.
That's kind of almost like counterproductive or anti-counterproductive. You're doing coke and then Quaaludes to come down, or
I think it was like I think he did like Quaaludes to be relaxed and then do some coke to stay awake. Yeah. So I think it was the other way. It's like not as hardcore as a Belushi speedball,
yeah,
you know, but
yeah,
you know, shit,
cocaine, one hell of a drug.
The Argus Hamilton cocaine. I don't like cocaine, but I love how it smells.
I love sniffing it.
Fuck, man, it's crazy how quick that how long ago that all that stuff was.
Yeah And the cool thing about, you know, being an ex drug addict and alcoholic, you have no concept of time, so it really does feel like yesterday.
Yeah,
it really does.
It fucking does.
Like, and then I'm like, oh shit, it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's the thing too. It's like there's no shame in fucking, if you want to be friends with Bill, as they say, you know, if you want to go to a meeting, you don't want to get, you know, get straight, do it. Fucking, or if you can quit, just quit.
Yeah. But
if you can, you know, and it's like, nobody's going to think any less of you. And the only people who are going to think less of you are the people that are stuck in the fucking, in the midst, you know, in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Those, and then they just don't want to admit that they're fucked up too. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I mean, now being sober, I mean, in this part of your life, and I don't want to say I'm a saint, I'm not. I mean, I'll fucking still, you know, drink a little bit of whiskey every once in a while, I'll smoke a joint, but here and there, but as far as like fucking, you know, painkillers, I refuse. That's another reason why I do smoke weed every once in a while, is I refuse to take painkillers. You know what I mean? So sometimes, you know, I had two shoulder surgeries. My hips do need to be replaced eventually. So every once in a while, I'll just eat like a couple edibles, you know, couple 10 milligram edibles.
You reboot your brain and
relax.
It's a proven fact. It does help. It really does help, especially if you got bipolar depression. Dude. It really does help.
Have you ever done, like, you done mushrooms at all for, like, does it help much?
Oh, yeah.
I was microdosing, like, right after I got out. And Neil Brennan was telling me about this shit. He's a stand-up comic. And I was like, I was listening to him about this. I was like, oh, wow, this sounds pretty fucking cool. But it wasn't to the point where you trip balls, like,
yeah,
you know, you're in La La Land. It was just like, just enough, throw it in naked juice, you know, and then fucking drink it. And then, you know.
Yeah, it definitely ain't for everybody. No. I mean, it works different for different people. So it's not like you got depression. Well, do some mushrooms, you know, smoke pot.
Yeah.
No, you got to experiment. You got to see what's best for you. But yeah, it doesn't work the same for everybody. But if it works for you, you know, do it. You know, I'd rather have people do something all natural than go into the pharmacy. I won't do any more antidepressants or anything like that. I don't want any man-made chemicals in my body. Right. I don't want to get addicted to it because I got such a bad addictive personality. It's also kind of lost my train of thought. Kids, don't do drugs.
That's a perfect way to go. But
that's like,
yeah,
you completely forget what you're saying mid-sentence.
No, I mean, if you got a good doctor, I mean, if you've been with a doctor for a while and they're prescribing you something that's working, that's fucking stick with that mm-hmm. shit. I I'm never going to discourage anybody from taking proper medication, you know, but I'm never going to discourage anybody from like experimenting with mushrooms because with fucking psilocybin and the effects of that, you know, I mean, obviously if you're on active duty and you're still, you know, in the military, don't fuck with that shit.
Yeah.
Your career is way more important.
Yep, yep.
You know what I'm saying?
You got a good job. You never, don't want to get tested.
No, my first like 3 years. Yeah. I was, dude, well, you remember me when I left here. I mean, fuck. Remember when I went, me and Heather, my high school sweetheart, we went to Florida. We sat at your house and we rolled joints on fucking, like, there's four of us rolling joints on trays. I could put them in a cigarette box so I could take this weed with me to Florida.
Bus. You lied to me about not joining the Navy. And on the day you were ready to go, oh, by the way, I did join. Motherfucker. I was like, no.
No, you knew I was, I told you like a
you
long time.
You
told
me you were, but I was kind of like, no, I didn't want to lose a friend. So you started telling me, oh, no, I decided not to.
I kind of did decide not to go for a long time, but and then when it that wasn't a lie.
I was really heartbroken. I mean, son of a bitch, I didn't care about you.
Not, dude, that was
misleading me. It was just, man, no, he's leaving.
He's like, that's my weed dealer, he's going away.
No, it was not that wasn't the only reason.
I know, I'm just kidding, man. No, but for like for a while there, I wasn't sure, especially like, you know, fucking being a kid. You know, you're 18, 17, 18 years old. And then like that's back when love was like, you know, cause I fucking loved Heather, dude.
Yeah.
And when you're a teenager, that love is a million times blinding, you know, like when you have that type of fucking childhood love, you know, cause it's like the first time everything's working out in a relationship that you think, you know, cause you're a fucking kid. You don't know any better. Yeah. I mean, obviously a couple divorces and several heartbreaks later, here we are.
Then you realize there's no such thing as love.
Yeah. It's just companionship. Just like, yeah. They're just going to leave me, you know, shit. I mean, now it's just like, I love women, but back then I was in love with this chick, man. Yeah. But yeah, it's so crazy. Good too. Oh, now I remember. God damn it! Don't do drugs, kids. No, but now I remember where I was going with that. It's like when you're that young, though, you're so blinded by, you know, fucking, I hate to say it, but pussy, dude, because you're just like, you're just thinking about that's it, and that's, and that almost cost me from actually leaving for the Navy, because I was like, man, because I still to this day I think Heather Culbertson's the only girl I really truly fucking loved, you know, but it, like going that far back. And just that whole puppy love, how it just consumes you so much. And it's just like, wow, I had somebody that just consumed every thought, you know, it was her. And then, and so like I almost didn't go because of that, you know, I'm glad I fucking did.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to leave.
How many relationships, do you know, very rarely that they've been together since they were teenagers. You know what I mean? I don't know anybody.
I can't think of any. Really couldn't.
I think maybe like one or two people, like Mazones or something like that. Then I know that
the Willies. Yeah, I think they've been together forever. The Willies.
Yeah, like the Crystal and Jason Johnson. Those. That's about it. From our hometown. He was a skateboarder that used to hang at the coffee shop when I worked there. Now he's a CB. He's stationed in Italy. Good people. But yeah, man, it's crazy. But I'm so glad, like I said before, though, I'm so glad I did leave, because it's just like, it's weird, because now it's like, it's 2020, you know.
That's a scary thought.
It was like, that was 1996.
Yeah.
You know, 95, 96, and all that. And I was like, yeah, my first 3 years was just nonstop fucking partying, because, I mean, that's all I knew. So when I went in the military, you know, because the law tells you don't do things.
Yeah.
So you go in the military, just think, okay, cool. Military is just being Johnny Law on me, whatever. You know what I mean? And like, I didn't really have, I mean, I'm not dissing my dad. I'm just saying, but my dad was more like my little brother than my father most of the time. So, you know, so it was just like, whatever. So when I got in the military and then you had the whole, like, don't do drugs, don't do this, do that. I'm like, okay, I won't. Just like everybody else said, don't do that. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like my first 3 years was just nonstop partying, you know, 96 to roughly 99. And then it's just like my friends, I just started saying goodbye. You know, like one dude's popping here, one dude's popping there. And then it's like, fuck, it's just like a little crew. We're the last of Mohicans.
Yep.
And it's time to fucking cut everything off. So kids, the point of that story is don't fuck around. The tests are too good. You're going to ruin your career.
Yep.
And it's like just that little one time of, oh, I won't get caught. I will be okay. Well, somebody else is going to be there at that one, oh, I will be okay. I won't get caught. That will be there later being like, oh dude, it's just this one time. You won't get caught. But you had 37s of this, just this one time. You won't get caught. And that's, I mean, that's how you lose your career. That's also how you get addicted to shit. And that's where you go down that fucking downward spiral. And that's kind of like where we're at when it comes to like drinking lots of liquor.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So.
Yep. But that's okay. That's legal. You can be drunk as you want and you won't lose your job.
But it's cool.
Smoke a joint, you're fucked.
You go, it's 20. Oh man. That's why I thought it was funny too, because I always thought weed was way better than alcohol for you, for productivity and for everything else, because you know how many people drive like 5 miles below the speed limit when they're high.
Yep.
They're not trying to fucking be Roscoe Pico training, you know. And then 19, I was 19 and turned 20 in Okinawa, drinking age is 20. I turned 21 in Puerto Rico, drinking age is 18. And it's just like, go ahead. Just go ahead and drink. You can get back to the States. No, you can't drink. Good times.
Yeah, there was some good times. But then there was also really bad times. Love waking up with a clear head now. Where it's not throbbing. I can actually get up. And my head don't feel like it's going to fall off my shoulders.
Right. Because no matter what, the rest of your body is still going to have that. Like, you just came into the Earth's atmosphere, you know, you're a space shuttle coming into the stratosphere. You have that feeling sometimes.
Yep.
But you don't need your head to fucking feel like you got the gong show going on inside of it.
Man. Do not miss that at all.
What kind of hopscotching, but what kind of projects you got going on like right now as far as, or what have you put out lately or ever?
Well, this year, I'm still always doing my Allison series. I've been doing her since like 1995. I created her back in 92, but got her first published by Boneyard Press in 95.
Yeah.
But I do three different series of Allison. I do like an older version of Allison. That's the main story arc. And then I do this other series called Allison the Boogeyman, about a six-year-old Allison and her boogeyman friends, which is kind of like a Adam's Family meets Calvin and Hobbes type, you know, story. And then I do this other one-shot series every now and then. I do an issue called Allison Tales, where I take Allison and I put her in a different ethnicity.
Ethnicity?
I have a bad speech impediment. Some words just don't roll off the tip of my tongue.
Ladies and gentlemen, the funny thing is we're completely sober too this, by the way.
Coffee and nicotine.
I only got the coffee, but
but no, I got a beautiful little niece, Molly. She's black and she's an awesome artist. So I decided to create this black version of Allison, which you know, growing up as a kid, they still do it now, but I always remember you had like a black Barbie and a white Barbie. Well, why can't I do that? So I did this series where it's a black Allison, you know, same girl, just, you know, different color.
Amy's kid.
And you know, just so I'm hoping one of these days she, you know, keeps up with her artwork and let her take over my series.
That'd be cool.
But I wanted to give her something, you know, where she can, you know, look up to. And you know, I pretty much, you know, based it around her, got the awesome little afro and everything like that on her and stuff like that. But dedicated that to, you know, my little Molly. Right now I'm celebrating the 25th anniversary of Allison. So right now I'm doing some coffee table books, some new coffee table books. Should be out in December. Got one that's just nothing but of different artwork of different things of mine called the Automatic Drawings by Dr. Bordner. And then I got the Allison Galleria, which is another book, a coffee table book. And then I got issue number 16 of Allison coming out. And I also created a new series earlier this year called Batty, which is a magazine that's in the vein of the old Dynamite hot dog magazines back from the 80s, the kid magazines that were just fun activity books, short comics, you know, crossword puzzles, cutout activities.
Yeah.
It's a very like
kind ad-libs of
a,
and shit.
Scholastic. You ever get those Scholastic book orders and
yeah.
order books, you know, stuff like that. So I've been doing that, which is a lot of fun. Yeah, I try to get a lot of artists. I get different artists to do the covers for it, so I don't have to do the covers myself. But I like finding artists, you know, that you know haven't been published yet, and I wanted to give them a chance. And a lot of people don't do this with a lot of new artists. They're not going to give them a cover shot. You know,
right.
They won't do that. I will. If I like what they do, I'm going to put them on a cover, you know. And it's not... It's me, yeah, I'm, you know, being nice by doing it, but I'm also doing it by being, you know, kind of selfish and greedy because it's an awesome piece and I want to see it on a cover of my book.
Right. You know, oh, yeah, man. That's cool because that's like a lot of times, as a comedian, that's like a lot of times people are like, oh, yeah, he's cool. I'll let him open for me.
Yep.
You know, and I gotten a lot of shots like that just because somebody thought it was funny or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, that's how I started getting into it, you know, doing a pinup here or there for, you know, books because people like my artwork. And
I think that's like when you were, a couple of your books, like the Gothic Red books were like basically friends submitting shit to you. And that's the first place I ever got punished. With. I think it was I got published with Gothic Red 2, the second one.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one day, I was like, oh, this is the first time I'm actually signing my autograph.
Yep.
Yeah, like this fucking huge box. And you're like, hey, can you sign these? And I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking it's like three. No, it's a fucking case. And you had like just about everybody from that book. We're like all autographing.
Yeah, I actually still have maybe like 5 of 10 of those those signed books left
what?
That I'm hanging on to. But you can almost not see the cover.
It just
looks like somebody just scribbled and you look close. Oh, no, those are all different names.
Yeah, it wasn't just people drawing dicks like overlapping. Yep. It was just like, you know, so that's cool. And Alice Sin, it's A-L-I-C-E-S-I-N-N. Alice Sin.
Yep.
So like, yeah, so everybody's looking for Alice and they're like, oh, that's what
Sin. I like to say it's a play on words, but it really ain't. It's just her name. You know, first name Alice, last name Sin. I thought it was cool back when I was young. Now I kind of think, that's kind of stupid. But I've been doing it for so long, I can't change it now.
No, I remember like hanging at your house. You had like a release party for Girl with a Gun. And then like all that other shit.
Actually, I'm doing a new book with Mazzy Devil that I've been working on. That's Mazzy Devil Goes to Hell, which Dave Sanchez, I created a character of Dave where he's wearing the Mexican wrestler mask.
Oh, Liberador or Liberlucci or whatever.
Yeah, he's wearing one of those masks. His name's El Dave. He's just going around Dave Hungry. That's like the gist of
El Dave La Diablo.
But yeah, he's going to be like a Mazzy Devil's sidekick in hell because she actually appeared in a Mazzy or an Allison issue. Earlier this year, Alice in the Wasteland, which was kind of like my version of Mad Max or homage to the Mad Max. And actually, you can see like a Danny Trejo tackle sign in it and stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
One of my buddies got a video of him giving me a shout out, Danny Trejo.
Really?
Which was
that's
awesome
really
and
cool.
Stuff.
Man.
It was kind of scary when I first opened it up.
Hey, Aaron.
It's Danny Trejo, and he's like, hey, Aaron. And I was like, dude, I got scared because he said my name. I didn't. What's going on? And he told me how you know comic books are cool, and especially all ages one, and you know, and this is when I was going through like a bad time during the shutdown and stuff because of the depression.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Really,
so this is like
bad.
Right when the beginning of COVID, man.
And everybody thought it's like, oh, you draw, you're gonna have all this time to draw. I did not do a single piece for 3 months because I was so depressed because I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't go to the zoo, and the zoo is my happy place. That's my antidepressant, is going to the zoo because I don't take any antidepressants anymore. I think I'd rather feel than be numb. A lot of the antidepressants I was on was just making me numb.
Well, that's where I got with sleep meds because like, I have trouble sleeping as it is, you know, like, just shit, fucking Iraq, you know, stuff like that. You know, and that's part of it, but a lot of shit over the years kind of compounds itself, and then that's where I quit taking sleep meds, because I'd feel so shitty the next day.
Yeah.
Where I would rather, you know, be shitty because I just couldn't sleep. So I found that if I just overexert myself sometimes before I go to sleep, like what I was doing, which is not healthy, was eating like fucking a fuck ton of McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
You know,
well, that's gonna knock you out.
Yeah. That puts me in a food coma, and then I'm like, next thing you know, I'm like gaining. Oh, dude, I lost 40 pounds in the last few months, but and I gained so much weight from doing that, and then it was just like, had to get away from that. So what I would do is I'd do some kettlebells. You know, I'd fucking do some stretches and kettlebells, yeah, and then some fucking, you know, some squats and shit. And then that way I get like really tired. I just overexert myself. And then I'm like, okay, now take a quick shower, pass the fuck out. And then that's, you know, it's worked. And then I think a lot of it too is like, when you can figure out what works best for you, you know what I mean? And like I said, my disclaimer is this: I'll never say don't take meds, don't take this.
It works different for different people,
and it does, and fucking I'll swear by it. I'm glad my dad's on meds because he needs them.
Yeah,
you know, shit like that. But if there's something else that will get you past that, you know, and that's the thing is like, yeah, I get it. I'm always going to be depressed. I'm always going to have these thoughts. Yeah. But another reason why I record these podcasts, and I'm thank you, man. I really appreciate it. And I don't think I ever told you this, but I think in the beginning I kind of said it. But for real, I don't think I'd be able to like, you're one of the people that kind of inspired me. I don't say kind of, like, you're one of the few people that inspired me to get off my ass and chase whatever the fuck I wanted to do, because I look back at you from when I grew up, and you fucking, I mean, we're in a nice house, Toledo, fucking kick ass. You got all these bikes around your house, like fucking legit bikes in the house. And I'm like, and this is like, you know, and the whole thing is like, I think a lot of times the only thing really holding us back from what we want to do, from our passions in life, and then whether it be doing podcasts, comedy, being an artist, is ourselves, you know. And the hardest thing is to just be like, the hardest thing is to go to the gym is the very first step to get the fuck up off your ass and go do it. Whether it's to hold a microphone, and if you guys are still listening, thank you. But if you haven't shut this off by now, thank you. Speaking of which, I'm at Josh96 O'Brien on all the, no, where's your Facebook, social media, any of that other stuff so people can find and hopefully buy some of your art?
Just search me on the web. Aaron Bordner. Yeah, you can just do a search and you can find all my pages and stuff like that. I'm on, it's just under Aaron Bordner, you know, for the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all what other stuff, YouTube channel.
Yeah, well, do you have a YouTube?
I got plenty of videos out there. And other people with the One Eye Dowel, you know, you type up my name, you'll bring up a lot of One Eye Dowel videos. I did concept work for the, you know,
did you do some of them, and then you were the fucking, like, all those Monster High shit. I mean, you're the first person to do Monster High.
Yeah, actually, I brought those back for the baddie. I hated Monster High back when I did it back in the day, because I felt like it was a sellout book, and I did that back in 1999, and Sirius picked it up. Yeah, 10 Monster years before High. The Mattel did their little line, and but I hated it, and I got talked into it. Sirius are like, oh yeah, blah blah blah, you got, you know, I like this Monster High thing. You think about doing a book? And I lied. I'm like, oh yeah, I already got books done. I did it. I just right. I hurried up and did it, and I shit it out because they wanted me to do that before they'd pick up my Allison books. So
right.
That's why I kind of have a love hate towards Monster High, because it was a sellout book when I did it. It was so commercially, but now it's like, and then the Monster High thing came out, Dowels, and I didn't know anything about it because I wasn't around at the time when this Dowel line came out, and one of my buddies like, oh, I got to go to the, you know, Kmart, pick up a, you know, costume for a kid, and, you know, for the kid, and go to the Kmart with him. And he's like, oh, check out this, you know, my daughter wants to be Frankie from Monster High. I'm like, oh, I didn't know she had my comic books. He's like, oh, that's right, you did do a Monster High comic. Oh, no, yeah, let me show you. And they had these, like, Monster High. I'm like, what the fuck? They make costumes of, you know, kind of, that kind of ripped off my book. He's like, oh, dude, there's a whole toy line. Took me to the girl toy department. I'm like, are you shitting me? I was so pissed for years. Every time I walk past those end caps, I'd come and I threw them off, you know, I'd wipe them right off the shelves and send them flying. I'd get so pissed, I'd punch them. I actually tried to, you know, talk to Mattel about that. And I approached him really cool, like yeah, I wanted to get a job. Hey, you know, I could be a toy designer or something like that.
Right.
And they're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And they said it was all a coincidence and stuff. And, you know, I didn't think it was a coincidence because they were selling that like a Hot Topic at the time. And I found out how their executives or whatever like that, they go out there and they see what, you know, is popular with kids. And they go into this Hot Topic store and they find out, you know, oh, the goth stuff is cool. And the kids like monsters.
Right. Flip
puts it together. But I'm also reading like old preview catalogs when Monster High was solicited worldwide, and on the same page of previews you got one side of one page, it was you know, Aaron Borden's Monster High number one, below it's like Michael Myers Halloween comic, then ICP comic, but right next to Monster High you had the Living Dead dolls, which was
right.
a series of dolls. So I'm thinking, you know, they came across that and just a Monster High, Living Dead dolls, and just put them together.
That's,
you know,
basically what it seemed like,
and
yeah.
Actually, I didn't put two and two together about that one until a couple years ago when I came across that old ad for the Monster Highs. But copyright laws are a very fickle thing in the United States. All anybody has to do is change anything about 9% and get away with it. I can do a Batman comic book and call it like Guano Man or something like that. It looked just like Batman and just like get rid of his utility belt or get right. rid of his bat symbol and you can get away with it. Granted, DC has better lawyers than I do. Mattel has better lawyers than I do. And I could have been in, I'd still be in a lawsuit with Mattel if I went that route. The creator of the Bratz doll, billionaire, he had a lawsuit with Mattel about his Bratz dolls and he finally won the lawsuit. And the only people that made money off the lawsuit were the lawyers. Because it was in the litigation for like 7 years or something like that.
What they can do.
But he did it out of principle, you know. But he won and he, you know, he can afford it. I can't, you know. And they knew it. They knew I couldn't.
Yeah, those guys can postpone and delay for fucking until you're just broke and you're like, I can't fucking win this.
Yeah. So every now and then what I'll do is I'll write Mattel to try to get any money out of them. I'll write Mattel about, oh, I bought this Hot Wheel car and it don't roll right. And they'll send me a $5 cashier check or something to buy a new one.
How come this one reminds me of a grocery store fucking car?
I got
cart.
This Batmobile and the wheels jammed up in the...
They send you the Joker.
Oh, my God. No, they send me like $5 vouchers to get a new Hot Wheel car. I think I do that at least. I haven't done it this year, but I did it last year. I did it about like four times now. So I got about $20 from Mattel.
Yeah, okay. So, well, maybe you'll keep...
Yeah, we're straight now. They don't owe me nothing. I got $20.
Fuckers. Oh, I thought it was funny, too. It's like, you got that book about your brother.
Oh, yeah, Big Al. That's a book that I can never reprint again, ever. I can't reprint it. It was banned in Canada for a reason. It's so bad. A couple of my books were banned in Canada. That and The First Girl with the Gun because she killed the Pope.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't technically the Pope, it was in the future. It was a robotic Pope, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of Boneyard Press books were not allowed to go to Canada. And so more or less, I was just kind of banned with the rest of them. But yeah, Big Al is so politically incorrect. I can't even say the full title of the name with feeling bad, you know, right. type thing. Certain words you're just not allowed to use anymore because it's just, it's hurtful, you know. And
well, just so the listeners know, I remember the first time I met your brother. I was selling you weed. I came to your house, and then you're like, "Oh, I got to go catch up with my brother." So we walked over a couple blocks because you lived over by Blockbuster then,
yep.
And I think he was
Blockbuster.
Yeah, exactly.
Blockbuster.
This is how far back we're going. You lived by the Blockbuster.
Mom, ask your parents what Blockbuster was.
Yeah, right. Yeah, some of the girls that I've been dating are 24 years old, so they're probably like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" But anyways, yeah, go watch. Oh, what was that? Miss Marvel. You know, because they have a Blockbuster in the movie. So like I go and then because your brother wanted some weed too, so I went. Oh. We walked over there, and the first thing he's like, "You're like, hey, this is Josh. This is my brother." Ah! And then I just see you guys running around like fucking Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, and he's got a stun gun.
Oh, I was going to ask, did he have a stun gun?
Yeah, and he had a stun gun
or a cattle prong.
And I just heard you just screaming.
Yeah.
And then I would see you run by, and I'd see him run by and be like, "Hey, Josh, hey, can I get a half?" And then, yeah, "Can I get a half O?" And you guys are like running around the house. It's like, yeah, I can break off a half O.
You know, he still does that shit. It's not fun. It's not fun. I don't know how many times I got stunned with a stun gun, and it's never been from police.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Usually family. My stepdad, he got me good one time. He stuck around the van when I was talking to mom, and all of a sudden I felt something. I went down. I'm like, "God damn it.
you see what he did?
Yeah, I seen him coming. You're
my mom. These things are fun.
Fuck stun guns. He used to, you go to his house, he's like, oh, just grab the knob. And he'd be on the other side of the door with the stun gun on the metal knob. As soon as you touched it, you get shocked on the other end of the door. On the other side of the door. Man, Alan was like well, there is a real version of Jason Mewes, but Alan is Jason Mewes' twin brother.
Well, yeah. Mentally. Also, like, probably about twice the size. Like, just...
Yeah.
Remember when Wolverine, like, there's a part where Wolverine's Animadium came out, and he started to, like, turn more into a beast than an actual thing.
Yeah, he lost his nose.
Yeah, his nose, all that stuff. It was like mid-90s-ish.
Never understood the nose thing.
I don't know, but that was your brother. That's kind of how your brother reminds me of, you know.
Yeah, he looks normal, but he's not.
And that, yeah. So... Well, fucking anything you want to plug, promote, anything like that?
Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Listen to your parents. What else does my Mr. T Dow says? Murdoch, you're crazy.
Murdoch, you're crazy. Stay at a cool.
No, it's you cool know, to stay you know, just school. Try to support your independent artists and, you know, just be cool. Be nice to people.
That's it.
Yeah.
Especially right now in this time. And,
yeah, definitely now.
Don't get upset because your favorite fucking place doesn't have a military discount. Because like right now, oh man, I seen somebody bitching about Home Depot. They're like, Home Depot, they do. But they're bitching about how they didn't get their 10% off because of something. I'm like, fuck, everybody's going, it's a pandemic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shit's going on. Yep. I mean, like these people support you before and now they can't because they got bills to pay.
Yep.
So if you can't get the discount, fuck them, support them, you know? And then like right now, go to the source. And that's one thing.
Yeah. Go to the source. Go straight to the artist.
Yeah, man.
Support the artists. Go straight to their websites. Don't buy them off of, go to the comic book shops. Always support your comic shops, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for a lot of independent artists, a lot of comic shop usually kind of shy upon ordering, really independent books. So, there's a lot of great stuff out there, who knows? You're going to find something you're going to like and you're going to be like, hey, where the hell has this been? It's always been there.
Right. You know? And it's just, now you got an interest that sparked. So if there's like a movie that you like, fuck it. I don't, Miss Marvel, we just talked about that. Any of the Marvel movies, go pick up some of that stuff and track down some of these artists. Like, I love Punisher. Like we were talking about Punisher earlier. And Garth Ennis is like one of my favorite fucking artists.
Yeah.
Which brings me up to because I still have a pull box at Roops in Fremont.
Uh-huh.
And then, so I have a couple books a month there, but I usually get everything from Golden Apple on Melrose by my house. And what I thought was really cool is TKO, which they put out Sarah, which is about this Russian sniper. Really good fucking book. If you're into comics, check this shit out. But if you bought online from TKO, you say what your favorite comic book store was, so it'd be like, cause I'd put down Golden Apple or I put down Roops. And on there, they sent 50% of whatever you fucking bought to them.
That's awesome.
And I thought that was really dope.
That's really awesome.
So it's just like, as if you were still, they're supporting their thing.
Because we did, we lost a lot of great comic book shop because of the pandemic.
Oh, dude. I mean,
we lost a lot of good shops.
Good shops, good bands, good fucking a lot of good stores. All those independent artists. Me, my Venmo is at Josh96OBRIEN. You send me any money you want, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I lost so many gigs. I was supposed to do Canada this fucking dude. I lost thousands of dollars. But whatever, it's the pandemic. I'm not complaining. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
We all are.
Yeah. Things can only get better. That's what I keep telling myself. And over again, just to keep me going.
But well, the thing is too is that it boils down to like right now what you and I are doing. It's like those people that meant something to you, fucking hit them up, say what's up, ask them to be on a podcast. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go hang out with your old friends, and especially service members. Like right now, we are in this spot in this world where like the holidays, the days are shorter, so people are getting a little bit more depressed. Fucking reach out, especially like your battle buddies and shit like that.
Yeah.
So. Hang out with your friends and stuff. Anything else, man?
No, just, just be awesome to each other.
Yeah. Be awesome.
That's so, it.
So for all those I follow, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I led, thanks for making me a better person. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And never, ever forget, Obi loves you. Same with Aaron. And we're out.